Okay, it's 7:02. Sorry for the delay. It's time to start the general meeting for the Trial Discovery Bay Community Service District. If I can get everybody to stand up and follow me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can I have roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Great, thank you. Okay, this is the time for public comment. If there's any members of the public on the line that wishes to address the board, here's your opportunity. You'll be given 3 minutes to speak. Do we have any members of the public?
Chair, there are no members of the public on the line at this time.
Okay, thank you. Then we'll close public comments and we'll move to the consent calendar. Does any board member wish to remove anything, or can I get a motion?
Motion to accept everything on the consent calendar.
And I'll second.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
And the book?
Vice President Graves?
Aye for Director. Yes, that's an aye. I couldn't tell what's going on. Yes.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, then we will move forward with presentations. Viola.
Good evening, board. Can you hear me?
Good evening.
Today I'll be presenting our water and wastewater monthly report for data collected in the month of May. At this time, we are 4,295 days safe working days with our crew there. Number we're continually growing. We're very proud of. Viola holds a strong regard to safety with all of our employees and our upcoming contractors will be involved on the site. So this month we focused on our safety showers and eye wash training, hazardous substance and incident spill. Also annually we do anti-harassment workplace and violence training specifically for California requirements as well. And so the topics we covered in our weekly safety meetings with the staff were confined, permitted or non-permitted confined spaces, compressed gas cylinder safety, and then we also updated revised two of our SOPs, one pertaining to safety and another on our HAWC analyzers and our sampling methods. The current status of our water wells is the same. All of our water wells at Willow and Newport are active, and Well 5 is still ready to use under emergency situation. The water production and chemical usage for the month, Willow produced 53 million gallons, and sodium hypochlorite usage was 2,500 gallons. The Newport plant used produced 60 million gallons and sodium hypochlorite use of 1,335. And a total usage for the month of water produced was 113 million gallons, a total chemical usage of 3,890 gallons. For water compliance, we did collect the routine 16 coliform samples, and none were positive. No water complaints this month, and our hydrant and valve exercising has been scheduled for this coming month. July will have our GPS unit in stock back from calibration, so we look to continue our annual exercise of that. So I should have some numbers for you next month. On wastewater, our current lift station status, all lift stations are active. Earlier this week, late Sunday night and into Monday, we did have an emergency outage on lift station D. Anybody have received calls from residents in the area pertaining to that? It's definitely on schedule. You'll see at the end of this report that we did have a project scheduled for emergency repairs and upgrades to the electrical panel. We were worried that there were some stretch cables and things like that over the forward of fire, things like that. Fortunately, the issue Sunday didn't cause fire. However, unfortunately, it pushed us into overdrive to get that repaired, get that upgrade. It's the panel actually sits inside the manhole itself, down on the ground, so it does get exposed to the gases and things like that, so causing really unneeded safety hazards. So we're bringing that, we're not making that better. We are putting extra effort because that's on the corner of residences. We are making extra effort that the new panel is going to be as safe and secure as possible, but also pleasant. So I'll have more to update you on that next month. And for wastewater flow and chemical usage, wastewater plant one is down. We are totally relying on wastewater plant two. Total flow for the month was 34 million gallons. An average flow, influent average flow per day is about 1.24 million gallons. And our discharge flow is about 1.1 million gallons. We're still only using polymer and we use about 400 gallons. For wastewater compliance, very happy to show you guys that all of our numbers are within compliance, and we are starting to slowly come down just a little on our conductivity. That's been growing some concern as we were close to exceeding that limit again. And to my knowledge, I believe that we have asked the state to up that limit in the past, so it's something I'm trying to avoid it with all possible. Just by trying to run even more efficient as we can, so that if we have to go to the state with another extension, we have a very good justification for doing so. And on our maintenance and improvements, even with the issues of Lift Station E, we did not have any SSOs. Worked very hard overnight to do that and try to not cause as much noise or fluid noise as possible when having equipment out there. We did have a resident come out and actually said, did we schedule that in the middle of the night? And it was very pleasant to know we were trying to fix it, keep it from backing up in his yard or anything like that. So, I encourage that. I'm glad they're able to walk up to us and talk to us like that. That's a good thing. So I hope they trust us. For the ongoing project, for the month of May, we did complete the filter B rehab at Newport. That is completed. And as you know, the Willow filter rehab has been pushed to or postponed until after peak season, just to make sure we don't have pressure problems throughout the year trying to deal with replacing that media. The radio tower failure has lift station F and G have been converted to cellular network, and the tower has been disconnected from electrical inside the plant and is ready to be torn down. This was a power we did in Town City. Emergency repairs on the upgrade of lift station E is in process, and of course we've put a fast track on that. Due to recent events, we have found a way to save us a good bit of money on the emergency repair, because fortunately we were in the process of building a new Power 4 lift station S, and this just happens to be the perfect component for lift station E, so we were quite easily able to get the pump, repair a few minor tweaks to it, and just move that over to lift station E. So hopefully avoiding us cost being charged a lot of massive rush charges, delivery charges, things like that. Wastewater plant two, main MCC AC upgrade was scheduled to be done before the denitrification project. The contract was out yesterday. They did get the first half or one of the split units installed. That unit is capable of cooling the new upgraded, new additions to the MCC, and the one to be installed should be in next week, and that will be the backup fail-safe, and we did test it out last night. Unfortunately, it's been getting pretty hot out there already, and it worked quite well. We do have an ongoing issue with the solar dryer, drying bed, emergency replacement of the panels. In my short time here in the last couple of months, we've had some pretty excessive winds. And on the two oldest solar dryers, we're having a problem with them. The wind is blowing the solar panels off. Of course, that opens up the solar panel, the solar room for if it was to rain, things like that. It doesn't allow it to warm like it's supposed to. So we looked at the site and tried to make sure that, you know, operationally we're not adding to that problem because they're old, you know, leaving the doors open and things like that. And we were able to save us a good bit of money by ordering a couple of those panels and having some back because they're expensive to ship. So the price of the panels aren't so bad, but shipping one at a time as needed is very costly right now. So we are looking for those to come in any day. And last, we have all of our analyzers and meter calibrations. When, as of today, that's actually been completed. And with all of the analyzers and meters we have, I'm happy to say we have one that we need to replace or repair. So that's pretty dang good. I was expecting that number to be a lot worse. So, we're looking good on the calibration. Any questions?
I had a quick question.
Sure.
On the radio tower failure, was that the one that blew over in the wind?
That's correct.
So then we had to then get a cellular system out to the stations to be able then to communicate with each other.
Correct, right. So basically we just lost the ability to talk to her, be able to see it from a plan or see it from a phone, so the on-call person. So that gives us uneasy feeling of going to bed at night if you're the on-call guy, because that lift station can overflow. It operates like it is, but if it was to be a problem, you don't know it. So we have to kind of manually run it. And so the town made the choice that instead of just going up with another radio tower that might do the same thing, about the same expense, that cell phone is a better way to do it. And so far, those two are back online, and we've been pretty successful.
Well, my second question was, so you had mentioned we have to disassemble. Is there the tower at the lift station? That's what you're talking about removing?
No, the one that's actually laying, it's still laying at the plant.
Oh, okay, got it.
Fell over, right, yeah. Right.
Correct.
All right. Anything? Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Then we'll move forward to business and action items, F1. Good evening.
Before you is the draft budget for the FY 2021-2022. This budget was previously reviewed by the Finance Committee on April 7th, by the whole board at the board workshop on May 20th, and presented to the board at the June 2nd board meeting. Since the June 2nd board meeting, there have been a couple of changes I'd like to briefly go over. We received the bill from SDRMA, our property and liability insurance. Unfortunately, the bill was for $250,000, giving us a $31,000 shortfall in the budget, so I needed to add in $31,000. That goes across water, wastewater, zone 8-9. We also had an increase in the water engineering contract of $57,000 that goes to the water department. On the capital side, on Zone 9, we accelerated the wild drive enhancements of $25,000 to this upcoming fiscal year, 21-22. And after discussions with landscape manager Liebelman, it was decided that we would include the co-drive enhancements of $100,000 for the FY 22-23 budget. Tonight we'll be adopting the FY 21-22 budget. The 22-23 budget is just a first glance. Finally, for wastewater, the outfall diffuser budget was increased to $800,000, and that is put into the budget. That is a new budget and will be brought to the board at a future date. Any questions about the adjustments that I made or anything else that you have concerns with?
Let's go ahead and open to public comment. I am hearing no public comment, so we will close public comments.
So staff recommends that we open the public hearing on resolution 2021 for fiscal year 2021-22 operating capital and revenue budgets. Accept any public comments, close the public hearing, and adopt the resolution.
Well, I believe we've already opened the public hearing and closed the public hearing. So go to item adopt resolution if there's a motion or if there's any clarifying questions from the board.
Make a motion that we accept the budget.
I will
move adoption of the resolution.
Oh. Go ahead, Director Graves. I'm sorry to hear you.
I was just going to move for adoption of the resolution because I didn't hear anything, but
you
somebody
can,
might have beat me to it.
Director Graham already made that motion. If you want to second it,
I will.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Gateau?
Aye. Okay. Motion carries. Congratulations, Jim. Nice job. Okay, moving forward to F2.
The Communications Committee requested that staff create a placard to post district news, announcements, updates, and business on a standardized template. Many renditions of the placard were presented to the committee and to the board. We have the last board meeting, they requested that the same item go back to committee to revise some of the placard's designs and to have the committee recommend two placards. Before you today are the two placards that are recommended by the Communications / Internal Office Committee, and they are before you tonight to select one to be able to utilize for district news, announcements, and other information that we'd like to put out for the public.
They look the same to me.
Okay. They're not the same. So the top one, the town of, is slightly up higher than the one below. The one below is completely centered with the D. The one, the top placard above is just at the top of the D, so it is the top of the D. So they're just slightly different,
I see
but
it now.
These are the two renditions that were recommended by the committee. And so before you tonight, we'd like for you to select one so that we can start utilizing.
I love the one with the the superscript. So the town of higher. I think it looks really nice.
And I would agree. I like that one as well. But in the interest of time, I will gladly accept the board's decision on so we can start using this.
I am okay with whatever committee would like to move forward with. Director Graves?
My only comment is I would go with whatever the communication committee is recommending at this time. They've worked hard on this, and I know that our general managers worked on it, so I would just go along with whatever their recommendation is.
I agree with Kevin. Whatever communication
department. Sounds like we're going to be I like the top one if anyone else agrees.
Okay.
Well, let me open to public comment real quick. Is there any public comment? I'm hearing none, then I will close public comments.
Can I get a motion then to approve the top Town of Discovery Bay placard for the use of news, announcements, and any other information that we'd like to post for a public comment?
I would love to make that motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Reese?
Aye.
President Gateau?
With love, aye. Okay, moving forward, F3.
Okay, I'll be presenting that tonight. So with good news, we have a park project completed, even though it was slightly delayed because of COVID-19. The Ravenswood Park Replacement Project, Playground Replacement Project, is complete. It came in under budget. There are no more punch items that Bill needs to go through. And so tonight we would like to request approval of the notice of completion and authorize the general manager to release final payment to the contractor, McNabb Construction.
Yeah, I drove by the other day. It looks fantastic. So I'm sorry Bill's not here tonight to get some accolades, but great job, great management.
How much under budget did we
come in? It was just slightly under, it was about 2,000. Yeah, not huge, but still.
I've had a number of people tell me how great it looks. So, yeah, good design, and yeah, that's great. It's nice to be done for all the families.
Well, if there's no clarifying questions, I'll open it up to public comment. Hearing none, I will close public comment, bring back to board for a motion.
Can I just make one clarifying question to staff? I guess Bill's not there, but my my understanding is that there's still an area that we haven't been able to address because we're negotiating with Rec 800. It's not because we've neglected it, but because we have not gotten the necessary cooperation at that point. At this point, is that correct?
It's not regarding this report.
Ravenswood Park from Rec 800.
Director Graves, are you referring to the landscaping project on Discovery Bay Boulevard?
Oh, I'm sorry. Are we talking about something different? My bad.
Okay. It's like, wow.
Then I'll bring back to board for motion. If
that's
no more.
What I would. Go ahead.
Well, I'll make a motion that we move forward with the final payment.
I'll second.
Okay, roll call, please.
Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President
Green?
Aye.
President
Gattel? Aye. Great. Another project completed. Nice. Okay. F4. CSDA board.
Okay. Good evening, board. What you have before you on this item is an election to vote a candidate in to the CSDA Board of Directors. Right now, we are part of the Bay Area Network, and at election time for term 2022-2024 has come up, and there are three candidates that have put their hat in the ring for us to vote on. We get one vote, and those are Chad Davidson, who's the general manager of Iron House Sanitary District, Rick Lohman, who's a board member with Montero Water and Sanitary District, and Cheryl Sutton, was a board member with West County Wastewater. Attached to the staff report is their candidate information sheet and a candidate statement for each one of the three candidates. Staff has reviewed all three candidates, and staff is recommending Chad Davidson, general manager of Iron House Sanitary District, get the town of Discovery Bay's vote. And this is because he's done a good job, he's the incumbent, but he's a neighbor of ours over at Iron House Sanitation District. Staff has a great relationship with Iron House Sanitation District, so we already know that we have that person's ear, and I think that's a distinct advantage to our district. So with that, we are recommending that the board approve one vote for Chad Davidson.
Okay, any clarifying questions from the board? Hearing none, any public comment? Hearing none, I'll close public comment, bring back to the board for action or further discussion.
I'll make a motion to accept staff's recommendation for vote for Chad Davidson.
Okay, roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Gatto?
Aye. Motion carries. All right, then we'll move forward to F5.
This item before you concerns is a revisit to a pre-annexation agreement that we had with Contagious Bay's proposed development. And at that time, Contagious Bay, when we first entered into a pre-annexation agreement, it was 2015, and the original concept for Contagious Bay would, they would be cutting into deep water, and it would be a deep water lot community. Because for various reasons, and among them I understand them to be, it was very difficult to get the permitting through various groups, that they have since abandoned that concept, and it will now not be deep water lots. It will now be trails and a few parks and perhaps a clubhouse, and it will be more of a lakes type of community. Because of the change in this concept, they got brought back to the county for various approvals. And of course, since it's been a change in the project, it's an opportunity to revisit our pre-annexation agreement. So we did. And I have to say, we worked extremely well with the Contagious group, including Trevor Smith and Mark Armstrong. And I also want to give kudos to Leah Casaberry at Supervisor Burgess's office. And we put together a plan that has made a few changes in the agreement. And those have been bulleted in the staff report. And just briefly, that there, the connection, the amount fees to be paid for connections are whatever is existing at the time the application for connection fees for water and sewer are made. That they've consented to a community center improvement fee of $2,500 per unit, which they will be paid at the time their water and sewer connection fees are applied for. And they also consented to the payment of a park and recreation enhancement fee of $1,805 per unit for a total contribution of $500,000 from the project. And they agreed to create a homeowners association which should be responsible for maintaining all the landscaping and open spaces, trails, etc. within their development or negotiate with the county regarding maintenance. This is a win-win for Contagious. This is a win-win for the town of Discovery Bay. And I would ask if Trevor is Smith from Contagious is on the line, if he would like to say a few words.
Yeah, hi Mike, can you hear me?
We can hear you, Trevor.
Okay, thank you very much. Yep, thank you, Chair. I came before you guys a couple years ago, and oh, I should let you know, Mark Armstrong's on the phone too. We wanted just to thank your staff for working with us. I came to you guys a couple years ago, almost, or a year and a half ago, to give you an update why we were making the changes that Mike described. We have a buildable project now, and things are really starting to move forward. You know, we see this is going to happen. We want to be good neighbors and work cooperatively with you guys. There's other things we got to work on together, the annexation, the well site. And we just look forward to continuing to get these wins. So I appreciate, again, your staff working with us and look forward to the future. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, so that concludes staff's presentation. Are there any questions?
This is Director Graham, and I know you love questions like this. Any idea when you're going to break ground?
I can share with you guys that we're currently under contract with someone. They're going through their due diligence. Things are looking good, again, because we've mapped a buildable project. And I my hope would be we've got to go through the engineering and other things in the entitlement engineering world, but I would hope, you know, a late 2022, early 2023 is in our future.
Thank you.
Trevor, this is Chair Gateau. First of all, I'd like to say, you know, congratulations. I think this is a huge advancement for not only your guys', but for the town of Discovery Bay as well. I think it's an amazing opportunity for growth for both of us, and obviously the fees that were negotiated certainly help our community quite a bit, so we're appreciative of that. Quick question for you. Is this going to be a multiple builder scenario or a single builder? If that's something I could ask.
Most likely it's going to be a single builder.
Well, let me again, if there's no other clarifying questions, open for public comments. Are there any members of the public that wishes to address this item? Hearing none, I will bring it back to the board for any further clarification or action.
I just have one.
This is Director Graves.
Go ahead, Director Graves.
I just wanted to acknowledge the hard work and effort that's been put in with a lot of roadblocks placed in front of the group, and I just thank them for their diligence in continuing to develop that piece of property, and we're glad to have you as part of the team.
Thank you.
And I would like to say thank you to you, Mike, and the staff for working so hard and making this so good for our town. Thank you very much. We appreciate
that. I appreciate that. And again, I would like to mention not only how great it was to work with Pantages, but Leah from Supervisor Burgess's office was also very active and instrumental in this process. And I want to make sure that she gets the credit that is definitely due.
Okay, if there's no further clarifying question, does the board wish to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve Pantages amended restated pre-annexation.
And I will second that. Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Grace?
Aye.
President
Gateau? Aye. This is a good one for us. Okay, then we will move forward to item F6. Maybe not.
Me again. Phoebe. The annual assessment for the Board of Ravenswood Improvement District, Discovery Bay Lighting and Landscaping Zone 9. For the fiscal year 2021-2022 is included in your packets. As part of the annual assessment process for Ravenswood, the Board of Directors adopted Resolution 2021-05, which directed Furwood Engineering to prepare the assessment report. Furwood has provided the report, which is in your packet. In the report, Furwood determined that based on the operating costs, the per parcel assessment should be set at $742.04, which is the allowable maximum amount assessment for Zone 9. Staff recommends that you accept the engineering report, adopt Resolution 2021-11, authorizing the intent to levy and collect and collection of the annual assessments for Ravenswood Improvement District, and set the public hearing for July 7th, 2021 at 7 p.m. to adopt the resolution to levy and collect the annual assessment. Mr. Are there any questions?
Hearing no questions, I'll open to public comment. Hearing no public comment, I will close public comments. Bring back to board.
I would move staff's recommendation.
Second.
To accept the engineer's report and adopt the resolution.
Thank you, Director Graves. We have a second. So roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Joseph?
Aye. Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Coteau?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, motion carries. Then we move forward to item seven.
Item seven. We have no staff report for you, so this is going to be brought up just verbally, and that concerns the operation of the Ravenswood Park splash pad. The splash pad is workable. It can be placed on a timer to operate at certain times of the day or in certain days of the week. The question is, shall we operate the splash pad? And if so, should it have limited hours and times? There's competing opinions on this and concerns is that we're in a drought period right now in the state of California. We did do some analysis in comparison in 2019 versus 2020. 2019, the splash pad was operable, and we looked at the months of April through September, and then in 2020, of course, it was not operable because of COVID-19. And we also went back to 2018, and I can say that roughly the splash pad, we believe, probably consumes during the season a little over 1 million gallons. It's not on a recirculation system. To put it on a recirculating system, it would cost between $100,000 and $150,000, according to the builder that supplied the splash pad. So we did look into that, and that was a rough estimate. The competing side about this is we have today days like today, 100 degree weather, and we have just opened up from the corona virus restrictions, and we can now socialize together, and the splash pad is a great way for kids to enjoy the summer and socialize. They haven't been able to do that. So those are the competing interests, and we felt that this is more of a governance decision to be decided by the board. And so that's what we seek from you, is some guidance on this.
I just have a question. Could you help visualize for me what 1 million gallons is? I'm just having to understand, and not necessarily visualize, but just calibrate that. Is that a lot? Is that a lot of usage of water? Sounds like a lot.
It's a lot of usage.
Do you have any idea how many gallons?
Well, if you look at how many units are CFUs that we use, which is 748 per gallon. We're at, for example, in July, we used July of 2019, we used 1,390 CFU, so that's times 748. So that was 1,390. In 2020, we used 743, so that's a pretty significant gap there. And then if you look in June of 2019, when it was in use, we used 1,478 CC. Use and it was 810 CFUs in 2020. So it's quite a bit of a gap. I don't know what 1 million gallons looks like. I've never seen just 1 million gallons.
When we did have it operational last, was it on a timer? Was it on 24/7, or did it work certain hours or certain days?
So I'm going to turn that over to Monica because I don't know. And Bill wasn't around then. So.
Yeah, no, the splash pad's always been on a timer. Typically, we would open it around Easter-ish and keep it open as long as it's hot. Usually it would be until October. And it would typically operate 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to between 7 and 8 p.m., depending on when it gets dark and that kind of thing. Don't want to turn it on too early to disrupt those that live there, and same with too late. So it's always been about 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. roughly.
And I'm sorry, Mark, real quick, how does it work? You push a button, or
there's a button on the ground in the middle of it that you tap, and then the water comes up for a period of time, and then you have to go back and tap it again.
Okay, so it's not running constantly.
It is not continually like that.
Director Porter, I hear you in the background.
This is Director Porter. Yes. Sorry, I have a quick question. Are there any mandates currently from the state or the county that is requiring us to restrict our water due to drought conditions?
Not in this county that I'm aware of at this point.
So our county has not declared a drought.
To my knowledge, we have not thus far, unless things have changed very recently.
Yeah, within the last 2 hours.
If I can just make a comment, I think it's very important to have something available. Since we don't have the pool available at this time, there's a need for people to be outside cooling off. It's a great attraction to that park. I think it's pretty important that we have it on since there are no restrictions. Knowing that restrictions might come, it could only be a month that it's open. But I think that we should take advantage of it while we can.
And after just coming out
I agree with Director Callahan. I think that we need to do something for the kids, and this is like the one thing that we have available to them for the summertime.
Okay, wait, I'll speak really fast.
We've
always followed Contra Costa County guidelines, and so since they have not declared a drought at this point and not given us any restrictions, I think with the pandemic just being over, I agree completely, we need to have some fun for the families and for the kids to use, whether it's 2 weeks, 2 months, whatever, knowing that, and maybe when we announce that it is open, we say, unless there's a drought announcement.
I just want to clarify, there are drought restrictions. It doesn't mention this, because the state is still under some drought restriction laws, but it doesn't include this at this point.
So there is no restrictions on this at this point.
Director Graves?
Thank you very much. I would agree with all the comments made in favor of providing this water feature when it was when the board put it in. We didn't have the extreme drought conditions we have now. I would like to see staff get a more reliable estimate on in the future so that we can say it's reclaimed water or we repurpose water from other purposes if possible. I don't even know if that's possible, but to look, we have a lot of water going through our plant. But for the time being, because that's a long-term solution, I agree that I believe it should be opened up. I would propose maybe the thought of maybe having the hours be a little bit less, like maybe turning it on at 12 or 1 o'clock so that you just don't have two kids in the morning and they got it on for 2 hours and then two kids in the afternoon and they got it on for 4 hours. But we may be able to do a little bit of conservation by maybe closing the window down slightly so that they schedule their time to go and many people are using it at once instead of maybe just one or two of them. I don't know how it's used. I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay. Then let me, if there's no other questions right now.
I just have go ahead. One question to ask Director Graves. But you're not saying that we should hold up opening it now to look at what options we have to reclaim for other water, correct?
Absolutely not. What I'm suggesting is that maybe we should evaluate the length of time that it's open in a day just to show some conservation.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, let's go ahead and open to public comment. Hearing none, I will close public comment and bring back the board for motion or clarifying question or action.
I'm sorry, just real quick. So does the motion need to include hours of operation, or are we going to leave that up to staff to determine?
Well, we would prefer, staff would suggest that we could either run it from 10 in the morning to 7 days a week like we always have, or we can reduce the hours as described by Director Graves to run from, say, 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. or 7 p.m.
Ask a question.
Don't shorten it. Just don't. I was still running into the evening, so when people get home, they can take their kids over there. I think 7 or 8 o'clock at night is reasonable. I'm just saying maybe we start it a little bit later in the day. It's cooler in the morning. It's warmer in the afternoon. That's just my thought process. I may be wrong.
I think if we do that, we need to still do it a little bit before noon. So maybe if we don't do it at 10 a.m., we do it at 11 or 11:30. Because you have children, people with young kids that aren't going to want to bring their kids out at the heat of the day. So that 11 o'clock period gives them an hour, hour and a half to be able to do that.
Spoken like a parent. I didn't think of that.
I have one quick question for Monica. Do you think there would be any benefit to having it open shorter during the week and longer on the weekends? But it is summertime, so.
No.
Yeah, I would suggest it be the same 7 days a week. It's just, I think, easier for folks to remember.
Okay.
And it is summer, so the kids are out and about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Monica, before you go, I just have one question.
Yeah.
Cool. Is there a meter on there that tells us how much usage at any given time, or?
I don't believe there's a meter, no.
So where'd the million gallons number come from then? How do we know that?
All we can do is just say this is the total irrigation that we used for the park in 2019. Here's what we used in 2020. It was a million gallons less for the season. And Nina informed me that the average size of a swimming pool is about
660,000 gallons.
Okay, so Olympic size swimming pool is about 660,000 gallons.
So two swimming pools worth, approximately.
Swimming pool and a half.
But that season was April to October, so we're already, 3 months behind schedule, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so I would like to craft a motion. All right, follow me on this one. I would like to make a motion that we approve the opening of the splash pad for the hours of 11 in the morning to 7 in the evening, 7 days a week.
I second that.
Okay, roll call.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Gatto?
Aye. Motion carries.
Just for the record, who are we crediting the second with because it was unison?
It sounded like Director Porter beat Director Graves.
Give it to Ashley.
All right, correct. We have that for the record. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have a manager's report today?
We have a general manager's report and update. So we're going to tag team this with our parks and supervisor manager, Monica. And we're going to update you on the landscaping that's going on in Discovery Bay at this time. And then I'm going to give you an update on how we responded to COVID openings. So, Mike?
Well, I was going to talk quite a bit about the splash pad, but I don't think I need to do that anymore. So that's great. I have that noted, and we'll get that taken care of. Same with at Ravenswood. You all know now that the playground is complete and filing the notice of completion. Added some plant material to the poke corners. It'll take a little bit for it to get established, but that was done and looks great. Let's see, wild enhancements, possible poke drive enhancements for this next fiscal year, 21-22. The concrete fence rails are taking some time to get manufactured, as we've learned everything is, and we do not have an ETA yet on that. But definitely on it and communicating.
Concrete fence rails.
Yeah, for Ravenswood Park.
For Ravenswood, yes.
Okay. How many did we order? Do you know?
I don't know that.
Was this just for the insurance job, or was this for?
You're referring to the accident that occurred?
Yes.
No, it includes those fence rails as long and additional fence rails. I can't recall exactly how many there were, but there were many ordered to use as replacements.
Any other questions for Ravenswood area? Discovery Bay Boulevard, I'll move on there. You've probably noticed the corners are complete and came in slightly under budget. They look great too. I think the Bill and the guys did a fantastic job. After spending a few days catching up on weeds, mowing, they will be starting sandpoint and sealway fabric and bark, as well as the last section of the boulevard. Now that Reclamation 800 has finished their levee work, which is probably what Director Grace was talking about earlier. So if you can hear me, that will get started on. Still on track to have a preliminary design for the boulevard medians at the July Park and Rec meeting, so look forward to that. We need to schedule repair of an irrigation leak on Discovery Bay Boulevard. That'll be in the next few weeks. It's under the sidewalk, so it'll be quite an expensive project. Everything I have for Discovery Bay Boulevard. Any questions on that?
So I understand the town does not own the land that's at the corner of Willow Lake and Discovery Bay Boulevard.
Sure. Are you referring to where the marina sign is?
Yes.
That is correct. Town is not open.
Okay. I just wanted to make that clear in my head. Since everything else looks great.
We do not. Yes. Okay. Bill and I are for pool landscaping, dryscaping, hardscaping. We're working on the RFP for that. We just about got it complete today, but we will have that complete next week. So if we can stick on schedule, we are really hopeful. We'll probably be having a bid opening July 7th, so we can get moving on that project. Any questions on that one, the landscaping? Okay. The burn box is here and offloaded. They had a training yesterday, and they will now begin working through the pile of green waste at Plant One over the next few weeks. So we have that going. Newport Lane has been trimmed. The fabric looks to be in pretty decent condition, so we'll have to replace that. We'll be able to apply a layer of bark early next week, possibly later this week, depending on, yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. Just depending on the schedule of what they have going on.
Did you say Newport Drive or Newport Lane?
Newport Lane.
Lane, thank you.
If I said drive, I apologize.
No, I...
Okay. The front entrance lights are still a little haywire. We've reached out several times to the company that we purchased them from, and we're not getting a response. We believe it to be an IP address router connection. Bill and I went up there several times, and you have to stand there with your phone, connect to the IP address, and it's, like, gone. It doesn't exist. So if anybody has any contacts, IT type stuff to help figure that out, but we keep reaching out to, I don't know how to reach in the cloud and make that happen, so any assistance would be appreciated.
We can talk about it.
Okay, awesome, thank you. Cornell Park, the crew has done an initial cleaning and sanitizing of the restrooms, and they are now open. We're currently looking into the cost for regular janitorial twice a week like we had prior to COVID. Until that is in contract, the crew will do it once a week, they'll clean them. The water fountains are now open, doing an initial sanitizing, and then that will just kind of go in the same rotation when they're at that park doing their mowing and detailing of the park. And then we still, Bill and I, are working on the Prop 68 per capita grant. We have until December for that, so not a huge priority right now. We've already discussed that at some meetings, but that is also something on the horizon for us. That is my report. Do you have any questions?
Quite a report.
It's
thank
a lot.
You.
Going
yeah,
on.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank everyone.
That's yeah, thank you.
All right. So I'd like to give the board an update on the openings that we've done since the governor has released the restrictions, and I say that with caveats. He hasn't released all restrictions. There are still many restrictions that are in place or that have been modified, but this is what we've done in response to those that he has released. Everything's open at Cornell Park, the bathrooms, the water fountains, etc. We have posted on the bathrooms that the bathrooms are not cleaned on a daily basis, so there exists a warning there that you use that with that understanding. Main office. Our main office is open for business. We have posted at the door that face masks are required until we get a change in guidance or further instructions from Cal OSHA. Anyone coming into the office has to wear a face mask. If they don't have a face mask, we're still able to deal with them. We'll just ask them to wait outside, and we'll deal with them like we've done currently with just through the door. Community center. Community center is open to the public. And when I say the community center, I'm talking about the building itself. It's open to the public from 7:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. We have our new employee, Ozzy, that just started Monday. And Ozzy will be here up to 6:30 p.m. to close the community center. Entrance into the community center does require a mask as well. Until we hear more from Cal OSHA and what further rules will be on that. The bathrooms will be open and accessible to the public. One bathroom is going to be reserved for staff, and that will be through locked controls. But the rest of it will be open to the public, and that too is posted that these are not cleaned on a daily basis. Now, what we are looking into, and hope to have shortly, is janitorial service. Janitorial service will be twice a week, Monday and Thursday, and those are the days that those will be thoroughly cleaned. Both at the main office here at the community center and at Cornell Park. On the weekends, the community center is currently the building itself is going to be closed. We are in the process of hiring seasonal staff to be here on the weekends. And so the community center building itself, the hours will be modified around the times that we actually have actual staff here. So that is the community center itself. The community center grounds. Community center grounds will be open 7 days a week from 7:30 in the morning till 6:30 p.m. This is an extended hours time, but it's to match the time that our new employee Ozzy goes home. And so it'll be open for till 6:30. But on the first and third Wednesdays when we have a board meeting, we'll close it at 7 p.m. The public will have access again to the community center bathrooms during the time that the grounds, that the community center is actually open. So on the weekends, if we're not open, they don't have access to that. We are keeping the public informed on our website and on our Facebook with any updates to the status of the community center and our parks. Do you have any questions?
I have one, just because that was a lot of information. Okay, so we have our people that, you know, dog park, pickleballers, tennis, etc. So on the weekends, there won't be any restrooms for them to access. Is that what I understood, or did I?
At this moment in time, that is correct.
Okay.
It's going to depend on when we can schedule the seasonal employees to be here on the weekend. So we had somebody lined up. They just couldn't do it. So when they can do it, if we can open it up in the afternoon, we'll open it up in the afternoon. If we can do it all day, we'll do it all day. Depends on the availability of employees.
Have we in the past, you probably, someone would know this, I don't know this, have we ever done a porta potty for people that need the use when the community center's not open? Have we ever had?
No, we've never had porta potties for in use when the community center is not open. We have had porta potties out there for special events.
Can I make a request that we find a way to get some of this information on the sign? I know that's a lot, so obviously it won't just scroll, but something about the town being open, please check for more information here.
Yes.
Unless it's already on there and you're just looking at me like I didn't know that.
It's on the website, it's on Facebook, and then we posted the signs that are applicable to the various areas and the hours, etc. But we haven't posted saying, hey, there's a bunch of changes.
That would be, that's a great idea.
I think he's talking about the electronic sideboard.
Yeah.
On the electronic sideboard? Mm-hmm. Oh, I see what you're saying. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. Sorry, I wasn't more clear.
I was clear to me.
All right, if there's no further questions, that concludes my presentation.
Okay. Any public comments? Hearing none. Close public comments. No, director's reports?
Mike, would you like me to?
Sure. You would just like to say a few words on that? And we have collected the agenda.
Yes. You have the information that I attended this transplant committee meeting. This committee is working on having access from Brentwood to 580 and 205. There's a number of routes, which you should have all that are being looked at. Interestingly enough, this project they started looking at in 1959, and they're hoping to start construction in 2029. It would be wonderful to help alleviate some traffic issues, have an emergency route, and like I said, improve traffic patterns.
Then we'll move forward.
I've got a director. Hello.
Go ahead, Director Graves. Sorry about that. We can hear you.
No, hey, it's difficult when you're out here. I do have a regional meeting report that I need to submit. It's supposed to be submitted a written report by the next meeting, but based on the fact that I'm not in the area, I will be submitting that to the office as soon as possible. But I did attend the ECCFPD meeting last Wednesday, and I will be submitting a written report on that.
Okay, great. Are there any future agenda items? Hearing none, then I will turn this over to our legal department to bring us into closed session.
Thank you. The Town Discovery Bay Board of Directors will now adjourn to closed session to consider the item identified on the agenda as 01.